here's a story from The World.
We begin the show today in Myanmar, where a tense standoff between the military and a popular uprising has taken a deadly turn. This weekend, security forces fired on peaceful protesters, killing two people. Ever since Myanmar's military ousted elected officials on February 1st and seized control, demonstrators have been flooding the streets of major cities. Today, more rallies, and the general strike continued, with hundreds of thousands of marchers refusing to go to work. Organizers say Monday's turnout may have been the biggest so far.
Just get on the street and resist. That's the only option we have.
That's Tinza Shunle Yi, one of Myanmar's most prominent protesters. She was one of many people defying the military by demonstrating today.
We see millions out there on street, not just in the big city like in Yangon, but across the whole country as well. In 14 years, I think this is the biggest turnout. People are so passionate about democracy and human rights, and also to restore the power of the ruling party, especially releasing the leaders right now. And people are so disappointed at the military and their action against the peaceful protester on the recent day as well, because there were fatal shootings against the peaceful protester and the arrest at night to different people. We have nearly 700 political prisoners right now.
Well, there were people killed over the weekend in protests in Myanmar. So were you facing police today? Was the crowd at all frightened?
The police, they were intimidating the protester by extending the internet ban. Before, the internet ban is every day from 1 a.m. to 9 a.m. But yesterday, they extended to 12 p.m. So we were so worried what would happen, why the internet blackout, you know. And as well, there are kind of rumors out there, like military are coming in, they are transforming their track into police track. So all these rumors out there. But on the day, we all get on and we see each other, you know. People are not afraid anymore. People feel like they don't have anything to lose anymore, but just get on the street. And this is the biggest kind of a defense of the democracy in the country.
So that was today. At night, the military and police are going after activists in their homes. What risks do you and other organizers now face after dark?
So after dark, there is a curfew, and it's from around 8 p.m. to around 4 a.m. every day. So after 8, people are not on street anymore. And then the police just mingling around, and they are roaming, they are guarding also the military as well. So just yesterday, there were a shooting of volunteer guardmen. So these people got killed. So after dark, anything can happen to us. The arrest, the killing, anything could happen to any of us. So we are living with that uncertainty. We don't know what will happen tomorrow when we are out on street, even tonight, right?
So let's talk strategy. You say you have nothing to lose, Tinza. Are you trying to maintain a nonviolent position?
Yes, because we learn lessons throughout our history. In 1988, in 2007, there were a lot of violence. People keep their own nonviolent resistance, but just the military, they are the most violent, you know, arms group in the country. And they will do anything they can't in the past uprising as well. So we're not sure about their side. But for us as civilians, our biggest weapon is the nonviolence, it's the nonviolent resistance. The strongest and the most threatening attack to the military is civil disobedience movement.
So you are facing a military that does not back down easily. What can you actually accomplish in the streets?
So we're not sure about the end result yet. Nobody can tell that, right? But we are benefiting from the whole process that we become united more than ever, not in the history. You know, we all become one against the military. So there is no gender, no religion, no ethnicity, even no color as well. So we all are united against only one enemy, which is military. And another one is, you know, with all these Rohingya crisis going on in the past few years, people are being overwhelmed with these propaganda by the military. Now people are seeing this reality, and now they are confessing to the general public that they regret they couldn't stand for the Rohingya people. They didn't stand up for the minorities, you know, oppressed minority by the military. Now they regret and they say we're going to be standing for each other in the future.
I'm speaking with Tinza Shunle Yi, a well-known protest organizer in Yangon who's been out on the streets of Myanmar's largest city today. Let me just clarify something, Thinza. Are you saying that this coup has turned Myanmar's people against the military's aggression against Rohingya in a way that had not happened before the coup?
Yes, exactly. Not just Rohingya, but also other ethnic minorities. They are fighting the same army since the very beginning. And military, you know, make a kind of propaganda against these minority and people mistake them. Now we are realizing ourselves, reflecting the struggle that we have gone through with these military propagandas. And now they are confessing, they are admitting. It's a good step for all of us to have an equal and peaceful future. So for the Rohingya people, they're not alone anymore.
So you've got these internet blockages imposed by the military. How exactly are you organizing some of the biggest protests you've seen in your life in Myanmar? I mean, is it heavy reliance on virtual personal networks, VPNs, or word of mouth now?
You know, we just got our devices in 2010-12, you know, so we are used to that dark age. We know how to communicate. We know how to spread out the messages. Of course, with the help of social media, it was a lot quicker. So there is the internet blackout, but they ban the internet at night. And so on the daytime, we can stay communicate and we can use it. Now we are migrating, not just on one social media, Facebook, we are migrating to Twitter, to other accounts. Also, we are using different secure messaging apps so that we will not be tracked. So these are many different changes within 20 days, yeah.
Where do you look for inspiration, Thinza? I mean, from the Arab uprisings 10 years ago to Hong Kong, more recently we've seen mass protest movements put down by government forces. What have you learned from these efforts? And how do you think your movement could succeed where other movements have failed, are failing?
These uprisings happening in my region, happening in the world, like Black Lives Matter, for example. Obviously, in this information age, you know, we learned, we read news and not just Black Lives Matter, but also with the Fridays for Future, you know, for climate change, etc. So All these things obviously show us a way that, you know, we have to resist. Even in the first world countries, they still have to protest. And why not in the third world country like us? We feel like we are all in this together. You know, the dictatorship, the coup culture, for example.
Uh-huh, coup culture.
Yes, it happened in my country, but that happened in the region as well. We learned from Hong Kong. Hong Kong made mistakes. What are the lessons learned, right? What about in Thailand? What can we learn from them? I think they are also learning from us too. This is how we pursue our humanity as a race. Yeah.
I'm curious to know specifically, what have you and Myanmar protesters learned from Black Lives Matter?
Black Lives Matter really awaken all of us, you know, to identify what are the root causes of the racism. Even in the U.S., many people go on streets and protest against these deep-rooted racism. So even in the U.S., it happened that way. And Obama was the president. Even that situation, the racism is there. So that clearly shocked us. That clearly awakened all of us in the country. So obviously, in this uprising, we address racism, we address discrimination. So that's a clear message that inspired from Black Lives Matter and also from other protests and uprising against racism.
Thinza Shunlayi is a well-known protest organizer in Yangon, Myanmar's largest city. I've been hearing your phone buzzing away with people trying to reach you during a conversation. I know you're in the center of the action, Thinza, and very busy. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.